You are listening to Voices of Youth in Care, radio produced by survivors of the child welfare system. Coming up, you'll hear the story of Veronica. Veronica lived in the system till the moment she turned 18. She has seen it all: group homes, foster homes, lockup centers, and the streets. Here is her voice.
When I was born, I was my mother's burden. She was young, beautiful, energetic, and stuck at home with the baby. After 3 short months, I found myself in my first foster home. Youth Protection didn't intervene at first. My mother had gone to them for help. She was a single mother, 20 years old. She was doing her own thing. She didn't have the time or the mental stability to stay at home with the baby. She was on her own trip. Stripping, partying, drugs, alcohol, boyfriends, friends. I was involved with Youth Protection from the age of 3 months until I became a legal adult at 18. I lived in approximately 18 different homes, but I couldn't give you an exact number because the rest is just a blur. A lot of it I don't remember. You're going to be hearing parts of my life as I remember it growing up in Montreal, Quebec with the Bachelor Youth and Family Services. I have picked the stories that best describes my childhood. The Return of the Mother. When I was 4, she had put me up for adoption. Finding out that I was not yet adopted by the age of 6, she had requested to come meet me. I was sitting in a chair beside the desk. My mother was sitting across from me in a wooden rocking chair. I was dumbfounded. All I could do was stare. I couldn't believe it. This was my mother. Where have you been for the last 2 years? I couldn't even remember what you looked like. I couldn't even remember anything about you. And now here I am looking at you after 2 years, and it seems like people are introducing me to a stranger. I almost had a white picket fence. Heather and Jacques were supposed to be my foster parents. I was introduced to them in 1990, and I was told that they were going to be my new foster parents, and eventually I would be going to live with them. When I was introduced, I was 10. Frequent visits on the weekends. They took me skiing because I knew I loved skiing. That was like my thing. Ever since I was 5. Nice little house in Plateau. Heather was a teacher. Jacques was a computer programmer. They had a dog. Their house was beautiful. I did have my room there. I had some of my stuff there. What I do remember is that the weekends started getting fewer and fewer. And I was eventually told by them that they had decided that they were going to adopt a baby from China. At first, I was told kind of like, well, you'll be coming with us and we'll also be having this baby from China. So I was like, okay. So it'll kind of be like I have another sister or brother, or like it didn't really sink in too much. It was just like, okay, there's going to be another baby here too. And eventually, I was told that I wouldn't be seeing them anymore. Jealousy and broomsticks. My mother was jealous of my foster parents, Heather and Jacques. One day, in a fit of rage, just because I didn't want to clean my room, she ripped my favorite polka dot jacket and the book that Jacques and Heather gave me right in front of my face. She watched me as I cried and then blamed it on me. She then proceeded to beat me with a broom. I was running from her. I vividly remember running around the kitchen table, crying and begging her for her to stop. Stop it! Just leave me alone! I'm sorry, I'm sorry! She was running behind me screaming,
You little bitch!
When I get my hands on you. From that moment on, all I can remember is the bathroom door and the curtain were no longer on the hinges or hanging up. And I wasn't allowed to go to the theme park with my father that afternoon. So much for the white picket fence. After Jacques and Heather abandoned me was when things went from bad to worse. I had no comfort, so I went looking for my own. I was moved from a goody-goody foster home to a group home that was occupied by older delinquent teens. I had no one I could trust or rely on. By the age of 11, I was already smoking weed and experimenting with chemical drugs. I was also running away and just being downright defiant.
Raised by the Wolves.
There's three different shifts on one 24-hour period in every group home. It was kind of to my advantage, because if I didn't like the staff that was on, I knew at around 3 o'clock there'd be shift change, I'd be getting somebody else. I saw staff as the enemy. A lot of the time, they would bring their own baggage from home, and because they had a rough time at home, they're coming in a bad mood, coming in a pissed off mood because they got in a fight with their girlfriend, boyfriend, husband, kids, whatever, and taking it out on us. I didn't get along with most staff. I found them to be pretty big tyrants, if you ask me.
And these children that you spit on as they try to change their worlds are immune to your consultations. They're quite aware of what they're going through.
Changes.
Turn and face the strange.
Changes.
Don't tell them to grow up and out of it.
Changes.
Turn and face the strange.
Changes.
Where's your shame? You've left us up to her next to me. Thou may change me. You can't twist time.
Ready to bounce. Now entering 10 years old, I was sick of being shuffled around, of being rejected by everybody and being told that I was a bad kid. I've already had 7 different homes since birth. This was when I wanted to have control over my destiny, even if that meant destroying myself in the process. At least these were my decisions. But of course, my only weakness was my one true love, my mother. I always wanted to be good in her eyes, even though she couldn't control me either. Party mom. My mother tried to play the mother, but as I grew older, I was becoming more of her friend. She would confide in me about her personal life. She found it easier to look at me as her friend rather than her daughter. My mother used to go on emotional trips with me. Things should never turned out the way they did, blah, 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 blah. But, you know, what's said and done is said and done. This was just a way of her releasing her own garbage. She would always have these emotional breakdowns when she's intoxicated.
Time's gone by, it seems to be, you could have been a better friend to me. Mama, I'm coming home.
My mother did try and take me home once. She went into the group home, she told the staff, I'm taking my daughter home, she belongs home with me. I was ecstatic, my mother wanted me. My mother needed me. Packed my bags.
Times have changed. And times are strange. Here I come, but I ain't the same. Mama, I'm coming home.
And I was home for 2 weeks before she kicked my ass out the door again. She told me to pack my shit and get out her house. Her house. Not our house. Her house.
You took me.
My mother was down. My mother's house was the cool house because my mother would tell me, I'd rather you do drugs and drink when you're in my presence because then I know I can take care of you if anything happens, if you bad trip. Because when you go partying with your friends, who knows what they're going to do if you start bad tripping? They just might leave you there. Yeah, right, she's probably just trying to get some of my drugs, that's why she wanted me to come home and do it, so I'd share them with her. All my friends loved coming to my mother's house, because we could do whatever we wanted. Drugs, drink, get tattoos. But according to my mother, it was a safe haven. My mother's encouragement. I don't know if my mother's acceptance of me doing drugs was leading me on to doing them. I'll never know. But my mother was pretty accepting to the fact that I was using drugs well. When I was 14, I brought my first joint home. And then after that, I didn't feel any way about bringing anything home anymore. My mother would offer me alcohol if I wanted it. She never stopped me from drinking. I didn't really like alcohol at that age, though. The taste of alcohol was disgusting to me. I was a big-time weed smoker. My mother used to give me money on the weekends, and I'd actually have my drug dealer roll up on the opposite corner from my group home. I was 14. Roll up on the opposite corner and bring me, like, 4 or 5 grams. Because my mother would give me, like, 40, 50 bucks. Because I was babysitting for her all weekend.
Daughter to the rescue.
My sister, I don't remember where she was. Maybe she was in the house. My mother's drug of choice was crack at that point. And she was doing it with her boyfriend. And you're really messed up. You get, people have a tendency to get violent. And it was already an abusive relationship as it was anyway. And he started kicking her ass like really bad. And I was lying down in the bedroom and I heard it. There was a police station across the street. I heard what was going on. And as I ran out the door, I knocked my hip on the side of the dresser. And it hurt so bad. I just didn't feel anything. I flew down some stairs, some wooden stairs that were quite steep. I flew down the stairs in my sock feet and I ran across the police station. But by that time, he had already left. And my mother, paranoid from the drugs, was convincing me the days and days and days after that he was living in the garbage can across the street. It was like one of those dumpsters.
Paranoia.
My mother was convinced at one point that the neighbor who was living right across from us were a bunch of kidnappers, and they were looking to kidnap my sisters. Because it was funny, their lights were only on during the evening when everybody was sleeping. I'm thinking, maybe they work odd hours, what do you want me to say? A woman she cleaned for, she used to clean this old lady's house, and she used to get paid for it. And the woman had given her, like, this wool dress. And she had convinced me and herself that there was bugs, not like creepy crawly bugs, but like listening bugs, inside the buttons that were on the dress. And we were whispering in the house for 2 weeks.
The back of the toilet seat.
My mother pressured me to take coke for the first time in my life. 15, we had gone up to Valleyfield to a very famous biker bar, and talking like 25 Harleys parked out in front of this bar. We're in the bathroom and she's like, oh, come, you want? I'm like, no, I don't do the coke thing. I smoke my joint. That's it. I'm not into the whole bleach and rat poison and all of that. No, I'm not into that.
Yo, I bet all your friends do it. She goes, what? This is the first time you've ever seen it? What? You've never done it before?
And I said, no, Mom, I'm sorry, my friends don't do coke. My friends smoke. Well, my mother coaxed me into actually taking a line on the back of the toilet seat in this bar. You know what? Even to this day, I'm not a drug addict, thank God. I'm not an alcoholic, thank God.
Rounding up the sheep, the weekend interrogation.
All the kids with weekends get transported to the city. On Sunday at 5 p.m., we all meet back at the metro and transport brings us back up. We get our strip search and our bags are thoroughly checked. Then we're allowed to go back and join the group.
Custies. I didn't have a job. I didn't have an education. I didn't have much going for me. Felt kind of worthless. How could I be independent when I didn't even have my own income? It was easy. Fast money. Girls were running around giving it up for free. If you're running around sleeping with guys, might as well charge, at least make something out of it. I felt very powerful. When people are desperate enough for money, they'll do pretty much anything. To me, money equaled power. I did the escorting thing for about 7 months. The last night, something really heavy happened and I couldn't handle working anymore. I said, you know what? This is not for me. I'm better than this. I could do better than this. I almost got beaten, robbed by a customer. Thank God that I'm street smart, because I would have been in a very bad situation if I didn't get out when I did. I saw it happening before it even happened. Hotel, motel. Sold crack. Crackheads. Crack was easy, fast money. Didn't take me long to get swift to the game.
No one can help me now. I'm in too deep. There's no way out. This time I have really let myself. Run away.
The Immaculate Conception. I had ran away for the longest time when I was 17. I had ran to be with my boyfriend. I was gone for 4 months. After finding out that I had become pregnant, and I decided to turn myself in, and they put me in lockup, and they eventually transferred me to a home for young moms. January 6, 1998. I was 18, one of the happiest days of my life.
So my real life begins.
When I was 18, I gave birth, 2 weeks after my 18th birthday. And a lot of people judge me because of that, but they don't understand. I was going down a very bad path. And you know what? My son saved me. Without my son, I don't know where I would be today. Things happened for a reason. I was given my son for a reason. Yes, I was a young mother. Yes, I did struggle in the beginning. But you know what? What mother doesn't? I have two beautiful boys now, ages 5 and 6. Devin, beautiful blonde hair, blue eyes, caramel skin, little man of the house. I always wants to help with everything. I didn't really want to let him. I don't want to turn into my mother. I don't want my son to start mothering me. Keyshawn, dark curly hair. Now I know I was supposed to be a mother.